This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. I'm your host Duncan McLeish, welcome to the show. Up on this episode we are doing a review, non-spoiler and potentially with spoilers, so please check the time code to make sure that we don't spoil the movie for you, for Late Night with the Devil. This is a brand new title. It'll be making its way for a limited theatrical run 22nd of March 2024 and then will be winging its way to Shudder afterwards. It has been distributed in the UK by Vertigo Releasing. So yeah, we're going to be talking about this movie, anticipated quite highly. A lot of social media buzz about it at the moment. I think the last I read, it was sitting at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes from critic reviews, so that tends to be a measuring stick for controversy when it comes to horror movies, because some people get excited by reviews like that, others instantly sceptical. So you will see when I land after our short break. But yeah, 2024 really kind of now kicking into gear with horror titles. There hasn't been that much out already worth note. Blumhouse obviously dropping a couple of titles here or there, Night Swim being one of them and Imaginary being the other. Both, I believe, underperformed on the release, but the kind of Blumhouse method of releasing movies generally is that they always make their money back regardless. But yeah, the kind of the yardstick for great horror in 2024 thus far, I mean, relatively low. So yeah, with all that set up in mind, we're going to take a short break. You're going to see the trailer for the movie when we return. We're discussing it first, non-spoiler, a little segment on spoiler, and then giving you our grade. We'll be doing it right after this.
On Halloween night, 1977, America gathered around for a live TV event that shocked the nation. What happened was real. What you are about to see is the recently discovered master tape of what went to air that night.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, here's Mr. Lynch, Jack Delmore.
Late Night with the Devil.
And welcome back, ladies and gents. So that was the trailer for Late Night with the Devil. Now, as I said before, Shudder are going to be putting this out on streaming. So I don't think we have a locked-in date for that one, but we certainly have a locked-in date for its theatrical run, which will be the 22nd of March 2024. So, this movie, a lot of buzz, like I mentioned before. It's one of those ones that has got great trailers that have been released thus far, so plenty of attention swinging its way from that. Cool concept. I mean, even from the outset, looking at it, it's kind of reminiscent of Ghostwatch, which is a movie that, if you're my age and live where I live, is something that culturally I lived through. But more recently, we've had things like WNUF, which is kind of a play on Ghostwatch, but it's like the American version of that, and, you know, is widely regarded as, like, a great little kind of found footage indie number. I myself didn't really like it because I felt like there was 15 minutes of story and about an hour and 5 minutes of fake ads, which to me does not a great horror movie make. But not growing up with the nostalgia of that, there's going to be a disconnect. And interestingly, Late Night with the Devil also kind of exists in a bubble where it's American late night TV kind of talk show, which we didn't really have in the UK, specifically in this era of the 70s. We would have had people like Michael Parkinson and stuff who would have done things, but not on the same way that American audiences would have got it with the names that come out with that. So, with that in mind, let me give you some details about the movie as images and stills from the movie fly across, which gives me an opportunity to look at my iPad so I don't break eye contact with the camera. So yeah, Shudder and Vertigo Releasing are proud to present Late Night with the Devil. It stars David Dashmalshian and unleashes hell on a 70s chat show. It's coming to UK cinemas from the 22nd of March. It also stars Laura Gordon, Ian Bluss, Fasiel Bazzi and Ingrid Torelli. The press statement says that Shudder and Vertigo are thrilled to confirm the release of the upcoming horror film Late Night with the Devil. The film will be in UK cinemas from the 22nd of March. In 1977, a live television broadcast goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the living rooms across the United States. The film stars David Dashmalshian from Dune and the Dark Knight as Jack Delroy, host of a late night talk show. On Halloween 1977, havoc unfolds when Delroy interviews a parapsychologist and the subject of a recent book, a young teenager who is the sole survivor of a satanic church mass suicide. It's currently sitting, as I mentioned in the upfront, with a 100% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. To give you a little bit of what people are saying about this one, Late Night with the Devil is an exhilarating demonstration of how the horror genre continues to present new and exciting storytelling. It will be in UK cinemas from the 22nd of March. And like I mentioned before, Vertigo Releasing and Shudder are putting this one out. At the time of this press statement, there is no certification for the UK, but I reckon this one's probably going to be a 15 and up upon its release. So like I mentioned before, coming out of this one, I'd seen the trailers, I'd heard the hype already, so I was very, very curious to see where this one would land. It is set in an interesting time period, so this is kind of late 70s America. This is, you know, in the wake of a kind of shift change in attitudes towards the devil in itself. We are spitting distance to the satanic panic. The Exorcist has already come out and, you know, kind of terrified a nation. And on top of that, there is severe kind of almost disengagement with the political process in America through things like Watergate and Richard Nixon. So it's an interesting time period. And basically what they're saying is amongst all this turmoil, people in an uncertain world would cling to talk show hosts, which makes sense to me. You cling to something that entertains, something that can bring a bit of sense of normalcy, and that's kind of continued on. We still live in a kind of time period where people enjoy the kind of talk show format in America, where it's something like Stephen Colbert delivering a kind of comedic distilled view of what's happening. More recently, Jon Stewart joining back on The Late Show. We will invite the audience in and, you know, interview people and kind of do the fluff stuff and all the rest to entertain, but also kind of try and make sense of the ever-changing world. The character of Jack Delroy is one such fictitious character, but set against a real backdrop. So his competitors, they mention, are real people. And that did kind of remind me a little bit of Ghostwatch. And the setup is that he is a talk show host that is basically second in all the ratings and all the rankings. And over his time doing Night Owl, which is his show, he's never quite made it to number one. But at the same time, he's went through a lot of kind of personal turmoil that's come along with that, with his longtime partner dying of cancer. And as kind of one final push, and this is all really encapsulated in the first 5 minutes of the movie, as a one kind of final push, he decides that what he's going to do is he is going to try and pique viewers' interest by doing this special Halloween show. And on this Halloween show in 1977, he is going to bring on a woman who has just written a book about kind of exorcisms and parapsychology. And her subject is a kind of Reagan-esque, when I say Reagan, I mean as an Exorcist Reagan and not as in Ronald Reagan, a Reagan-esque character of a girl who was part of a religious cult that kind of Heaven's Gated themselves in mass suicide, with her surviving, but potentially her being possessed, question mark. The movie follows a kind of... the kind of Ghost Watch WNUF setup, and that you are there for the broadcast, you are getting clips of what was televised, quote unquote, and in between those, unlike the WNUF, which plays ads, so you're actually seeing it from the viewer's perspective all the way through, so this would have been recorded on late night TV, and all the horror scenes are interspersed with cable ads that would have run at the time, or Ghost Watch, which was shot for the BBC, where advertising would not have been allowed or permitted. BBC doesn't do adverts. So you got like the one long docu thing. This one here, whenever it cuts to break, you get the perspective of what was happening in the studio. Now this is interspersed in black and white, so it's kind of shot from a different camera, so to speak. And you see the interactions with the characters in between the segments that roll out. And essentially, the movie isn't long. I mean, we're talking it's just over an hour and 20 minutes. And it's kind of purposely set out that I think if you are a bit long in the tooth with horror movies like I am, you know what's going to happen here, and it's inevitability to get to that point. But what the movie does is it kind of structures personal interactions and some of the drama that the character has went through alongside the events that are happening. So you get to... there's a character who's a debunker who comes on and he's there to debunk things. You know what, how that's going to go. There's a psychic who clearly is a fraud, but when he comes on, he manages to commune with it. So there's a kind of link to that as well. You can see these are archetypes from horror that you've seen done over and over again, and you know where it's going. But the movie kind of cleverly paces it in a setting that feels grounded. So it kind of is delivered in kind of piecemeal bite-sized chunks that kind of work together as it flows through. There's like a really good structure to this one and pacing. David, guy whose name who's very difficult for me to pronounce it, plays Jack Delroy, is absolutely brilliant in this. His kind of portrayal, body language, attitude, and kind of general kind of sleaziness but also likability feels like a talk show host. I think he encapsulates that, embodies it really, really well. There is a kind of a visual style about it that feels authentic to the time. The dialogue actually is really carefully written, so there's no like reds or anything like that, you know, no vernacular like slay queen, you know, like all this stuff that would instantly pull you out of it. It kind of is grounded in that very, very well, and very well delivered. And the pacing of the movie overall just works for me. It ramps up when it needs to ramp up. It gets a bit gonzo when it needs to. My only real criticism for the movie, and the only thing I would mark it down from, is maybe the last 5 minutes go into a bit of a CGI territory, which I don't think encompasses everything that you've seen before. It kind of feels like it jumps the shark a little bit, not in a way which destroyed my interest for the movie by any stretch of the imagination. And I understand that, you know, these movies are made generally for a budget, so moving into the kind of CGI realm is going to happen. It's kind of inevitable. But it did kind of feel like the movie, up until a certain point, is shot surprisingly taut and surprisingly well and grounded. And then the last 5 minutes kind of does what, if you've watched any of the VHS anthologies, it kind of does the ending to any of the VHS anthologies, where everything gets really, really crazy, really, really hectic, lots of digital effects, and then credits. I don't think they go as bad with it. And to be honest, I actually think in the setting that I saw it, which was on my computer monitor, which is how I got my screen there, I couldn't play it on the big TV, I think it would actually work maybe a bit better on a bigger screen, so I'm interested for when it gets released in cinemas to go and check it out. But overall, I thought the acting, performances, pacing, script, delivery was really, really, really well done. High caliber stuff, considering this is from a couple of directors who haven't made a ton of horror stuff. They have a bit of pedigree there, but nothing on this level. I think they've actually made the transition up to great. I think Shudder acquiring this makes a lot of sense. I think this will play really, really well to Shudder audiences, and this is the sort of movie that people will stumble onto and might actually for a minute believe it's real, whilst maybe the more ingrained hardcore horror fans will take to this really, really well. It's not something you haven't seen done before, but it's actually surprisingly pieced together in a manner which doesn't feel cheap, and that in itself will kind of hold attention. So at this point here, I'm going to throw up a spoiler warning, and then we're going to talk a little bit more in spoiler detail. If you're not interested and you're watching this as a video, jump ahead to the next chapter so you miss it. And if you are checking out the audio version of this one, time codes are in the description, so please do that. Please do not listen beyond if you're not seeing the movie, and don't say you weren't warned. So, jumping into spoiler territory, so we are in spoiler now, just once again, last warning, please jump ahead. The idea behind this one is that the girl who appears here as potentially possessed is actually possessed. And we have a kind of slight detail which, on some level, you would kind of gloss over as a bit bizarre because they're openly talking about it. Apparently Jack Delroy is a part of a kind of Bohemian Grove-esque group of celebrities who have orgies and have kind of sacrificed something. It's not explicitly mentioned, but there's a kind of Faustian pact with the devil here, or some sort of other entity for fame and fortune and success, and that's kind of where he's ended up. And of course, this possession, this demon, this Pazuzu, it's not Pazuzu, but this kind of entity, is fully aware of that and is playing tricks and games against Jack to collect what is due to whatever entity he has made his bargain for. So it's inevitably heading that way. There's a psychic that's introduced earlier on who is clearly a fraud, kind of Chris Angel sort of character. And then you get this bit where he actually does connect with a spirit. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Deep Red, where there is the actual connection, because of course you're a psychic that fakes connections to the world of the dead. Something will actually make contact with you. The guy who is the debunker shows in a kind of protracted bit at the end how he would debunk something. There's a very cool visual effect with the whole section where he shows how this might have been a kind of mass hypnosis thing on the screen, a possession, how he would have done it, which is really smart. And then obviously you get the flip on that of the one thing he can't explain, and that being the thing that kind of substantiates that this is real. Essentially, what you're seeing on the cameras is real. It also plays into, there is a, I can never remember who does this, but there is a fund for, I think it's like $1 million in the States for proof, like irrefutable proof of life beyond death or kind of paranormal activity. And no one's been able to claim this money. This character has something similar as a trope for him. And then Jack Delroy as well is this character who is kind of sleazily trying to become the best at what he does, and he's so desperate at doing that he breaks his kind of moral compass, his friendships, and really pushes himself to the extent that nothing is really off limits. All the warning signs are there throughout the show that ultimately he's going to end up where he does. And like I said in the upfront, the ending of the movie is kind of, it's a CGI show in the last 5 minutes. I kind of like how it is structured. I just don't think the effects are particularly great, and I think they will age it. Like, even 2-3 years from now, they're going to look a bit hokey. But notwithstanding that, I actually think that holds really well together. I think the performances which build up to that hold really, really well in a spoiler kind of category of that one. The Jack Delroy character, the more he reveals about his wife's death with cancer, the way he is kind of, his involvement with other organisations, his push for the top, his interactions with his kind of co-host, kind of sound guy, as well as his TV producer, all these things tie in like really, really, really well together. So it's kind of like, I damned the last 5 minutes to an extent, but it's not enough to ruin the movie for me. It's just not how I would have personally ended it, and I'm not a filmmaker, so what do I know? But yeah, that's kind of really the story. That's what you're getting here. It's not anything that a horror fan will not have seen before. It's kind of set in the same way that Ghostwatch is set. You know, we're going to go out and debunk this haunted house, or WNUF. We're going to go out and debunk this haunted house. It's the same idea. We're going to try and televise something we don't actually think is real, but we're going to pass it as real to get the ratings. A little bit of controversy. And then on the flip side of that one, oh, by the way, it happens to be real. Been done before, but done really well in this case. So yeah, that ends our spoiler section. So yeah, overall, Late Night with the Devil, what would I say? I would give this a 4.5 out of 5. A really, really, really strong. It's one of the better movies that I've seen this year. Yes, it's not wholly original, but I think actually the performance, the way it holds together and the way it's delivered, is what wins it for me. The 0.5 knockdown, I think, is just some of the effects at the end. It does kind of feel like it has kind of loftier aspirations than its budget actually has, and as a result of that has to lean into some techniques that don't always sit necessarily well with me. But it's a ton of fun. It's going to perform really well on Shudder. Hopefully it does really well in theatres, and I'm interested, genuinely interested, to see what audience start to make of this one. Like I said in the beginning, it's going to be making its theatrical run on the 22nd of March. Vertigo releasing are behind it, but it's done in conjunction with Shudder, so it will make its way to Shudder some point in 2024. So if you miss it in cinemas, please check it out on Shudder. Huge thanks to Keir Waller, who were the PR company that sent this through for review. Thank you. Without that, I would not have been able to review it in advance. And as always, if you're checking this out on YouTube, then please like and subscribe to this video. If you've already checked out the movie, leave your comments below. If you're excited for it, if it's not your thing, let's start a dialogue. Please leave comments there. You're checking us out on Spotify or Anchor through the video podcast functionality over there. You'll get a question at the end of this episode. As always, I would appreciate if you answer that, and make sure you subscribe there. And lastly, if you're checking us out in audio form and any of the podcatchers out there, hit subscribe. That way you access to the over 1300 episodes of the podcast Under the Stairs. But anything that I put out in future, you get a little notification, and that's what it's all about. So yeah, that is another episode in the can. The next episode of the podcast Under the Stairs will be covering Ark of the Sun God, which is the next release in the 88 Films Italian collection. It'll be coming early next week. So until then, wherever you are, what the time zone is, and whatever you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.